It's a Slesenon honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk to Divrei Torah. And as we all know, we're starting a new Sefer Bamidbar. So many things going on in Sefer Bamidbar, but we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions, and then we're going to come out with that major yisod, that major foundation point that we can bring into our lives in a very real way. We know that whenever you start a Sefer, there's a special name of that Sefer. For Bereishis, the Ramban says it's Sefer HaYetzira, Sefer HaYashar, following the ways of the Avos. Shemos, Sefer HaGeula. The Bahag says it's Sefer HaSheni, because we're taking the Maisa Avos, Aver, Nisach, and Yaakov, and we're carrying it over to Klal Yisrael. Sefer Sheni, Vayikra, Toras Kohanim, which we spent so much time talking about, the Kohanim and all the Dinim and all the Tumah and Tahara. And then you get to Sefer Bamidbar, and it's called Sefer HaPikudim. Ask the great Nitziv, Rav Naftali Svi Yehuda Berlin, who was Rosh Hashiva of Elozhin. We know that there are different countings in the Torah. Very interesting discussion. Are you allowed to count people? Are you not allowed to count people? We know when you count for a minion, you say not one, not two, Hashiyas HaMecha. That's a whole separate halachic shaila. Are you allowed to count people or not? However, two times in Bamidbar do we talk about countings. Right in the beginning of Bamidbar, and then after Pinchas, with Pinchas being a zealot and killing people in Klal Yisrael, such crazy things that went on, and they were counted there. And ask the great Nitziv, why specifically is it called the Book of the Countings? Question two, very well-known Medrash, beautiful Medrash. The Medrash tells us in the beginning, Bamidbar Rabbah, Aleph, Aleph, that when Klal Yisrael got the Torah, as we all know, they're in the Midbar for 40 years, or so many years, we don't know exactly what happened. But the Torah tells us that Klal Yisrael, they got the Torah with Eish, with fire, with Mayim, with water, and they actually got it in the Midbar. And obviously, you could understand that they had the Anoni HaKavod, the Eish, the walking air conditioning, the heating system, right on you, you could do, never cold and never hot, it's amazing. They had the Mayim, the water, right? They had whatever they wanted, they had the mud, HaMotzi Lecha Min HaShamayim, they had amazing, amazing things, and they had the Midbar. But as for Vasher Weiss, is there a deeper message? Obviously there is, or I wouldn't be asking the question, but is there a deeper message between Eish, Mayim, and Midbar? And lastly, again, there's a lot of countings going through the Shvatim, but there's one discussion when it's talking about the Levim, right? I'm a Kohen, I love Shevet Levi, but there's a very interesting pasuk. It tells us in Bamidbar, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Vav, HaKreves Moshe, and Matei Levi, V'Masom Lefnei Aaron HaKohen. There was this idea, again, Shevet Levi had its own separate counting, had its own separate flag. They didn't even have a flag, it was right in the middle. V'Shamu HaMishmarti, V'Shmeret Kol Edo, Lefnei O Moed, Lavod Et Avodas HaMishkan. And the Gemara tells us in Erechin on Yud Aleph Omid Beis, it's found in the Rambam Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Gimel Yud Aleph. Amazing. The Rambam brings down that there are two ideas of the Levim. There's an idea of singing, right? They sang, a Levi sings. And also, they protected, they guarded. What are these two ideas? The guarding and the singing. Why specifically Shevet Levi? And again, we'll talk more maybe about Shavuos, but Bamidbar is always before Shavuos. And the question is, why is always Bamidbar before Shavuos? So let's just review and make sure we have the questions. Question one is, why is it called Sefer HaPikudim? Question two, why Eish, Mayim, and Torah? Why is Bamidbar Eish, Mayim, and Torah? Question three, what was so unique about the Levim that they had two jobs? They watched over the Mishkan. And not only did they watch over the Mishkan, they also were the singers. They sang. And lastly, what's the connection between Bamidbar, the Gemara tells us in Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph that it's always before Shavuos, and we know that the curses of the Tochacha are always before Rosh Hashanah. What is that idea? So, comes along the great Nitziv. Again, the great Rav Naftali Svi Yehuda Berlin, they tell the famous story, very well-known story, that he was a little boy and he heard his parents talking. And they said, no, what's going to be with little Rav Naphtali? He wasn't a Rav yet. What's going to be with little Naphtali? And he heard this and he said, oh, I gotta work harder in my learning. I gotta work harder in my Torah. I work harder in my Avodas Hashem. And he said, Baruch Hashem, I heard that conversation because it pushed me. And right now I'm writing my Sefer on the Shiltos. And it pushed me. And the Netziv, again, the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin, all the greats came out of Volozhin. And the Netziv says an amazing thing, a very, very, very nice idea. He says the countings were two separate countings. They got in. They were being counted. They were in the Midbar. And they were being counted. And you know, this Rashi is so precious to me. I remember that, I've spoken about this before, that I had a professor when I was in YU, I had a professor that I got very close to, and he was a secular Jew. He didn't know so much. Actually, one time, my parents, right, we had him over for Sukkot and the Sukkah hopping, right? It was great. He loved it. He loved the tabernacle. And he always wanted to, you know, we got very close, and he wanted to learn, and we learned a little Torah, and it was actually Parshas Bamidbar, first Rashi. So I said, Professor, his name was Redos. Professor Redos, I'm going to give you a little background. God created the world 6 days, 7 days rested. He's like, can I ask questions? I'm like, no. I'm like, why not? We only have 20 minutes. So he's like, okay, God created the world, and then we had these great fathers and mothers, and we created all this beautiful religion, our religion, and then we were put in Egypt, and we were supposed to be here 400 years, 210. He's like, can I ask questions? I'm like, no. So then we got out of Egypt, and then we went, we had a Yom Suf. He's like, please let me ask questions. I'm like, different time. But we're in Parshas Bamidbar. I said, let me read you a Rashi. All you need to do sometimes is just read the Rashi. Always the first Rashi. Rashi says, Vayidabar Hashem Moshe Midbar Sinai. Says Rashi, Mitochi Basan Lefanov. Since Klai Yisrael was so dear, Monel Sam Kol Shah, he counted them all the time. Kishe Yatsu Mitzrayim, when they left Mitzrayim, Monon. Kishanaful be'ego, when they fell at Cheta Ego, Monon. Leida ha'nosrim, to know who was left. Rashi says that Hashem loves us. He puts us into the world. If he didn't believe in us, he wouldn't put us in this world. He loves us so much. And he gave every single one of us a job. And he loved it. He loved this Rashi. Ah, God. And it was amazing, because later on that week, we took a class trip, went to Rikers Island, my grandfather, Rebamzu Zatzal, right, major personality. He was also a chaplain in Rikers Island. And we took a class trip, amazing trip, to go to Rikers Island. And there was, which I've spoken about before, and the most amazing thing happened. He was talking, it was Bamidbar, and he quoted the Rashi. And Professor Redos was like, wow, that's amazing. Did you plan? Did you talk to your grandma? Like, no, I didn't tell him that we learned this together, right? And I've spoken about before that there was someone that kept on going back to jail. He told me he kept on going back to jail because he loved my grandfather and he also loved the kosher food. Okay, Baruch Hashem. And we spoke about slave mentality, always getting stuck. But he said, Bamidbar, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. And says the great Rav Naphtali Svi Yehuda Berlin that there are two different countings. There was a counting when they first got into the Midbar. And Hashem says, I love you. I'm going to take you in the Midbar. You messed up, but I'm 40 years, you're going to be in the Midbar. And at the end was the going into Eretz Yisrael, and it was very difficult. Right? The Meraglim and Pinchas. But it was a different type. It was more that they're going to have to work the land. You know, it's very interesting when the counting's going on. First it's Ephraim and then Menashe. We know it was Menashe and Ephraim. But Ephraim was the Torah. Menashe was the businessman. And first it's Ephraim in Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar, and then Menashe. But then when you look in Pinchas, it's the opposite. It's Menashe and Ephraim. And then it says it makes sense because they're going into Eretz Yisrael. There's a physicality going on. There's a change. They go from the beginning that they had all the special things. They had the Eish, which we'll talk about now, the Eish and the Mayim and the Mon and all these great things and all these precious gifts. But then Hashem said, I'm going to bring you into Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael is hard. Where it says in Brachos Daf Hei that Eretz Yisrael is Nikna B'Yisurin. But still, a person, this is our land. This is our special land. This is where the Shechina is. This is where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. God blesses Hashem, and we have to believe it, and we have to daven for it. This is our land, but there's struggles. Because you're going to have to work the land. And you're going to have to, it's not going to be so easy. And that was a chait of the Meraglim. They went in, says the Netziv, and they're like, I can't do this. We want to live in the special. We want the mon. We want all these amazing things. We don't want to go to the land, says the Netziv. But there's two different countings, Sefer Pekudim. And then we get to the Eish and the Mayim. Why? Says Rav Asher, why? It's beautiful. And I said this before, but it's so powerful. That Eish represents Gadlus HaAdam. That a person has Gadlus, his greatness. A person could perform, a person could accomplish. A person needs to believe in himself. He has to look back and say, look what I did, and how much more I could do. He has to realize he can do it. And at the same time, after he does that, that's Eish. That's fire, that's power. At the same time, there's Mayim. There's the idea of Shiflus. There's the idea that I realize that it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, you're running the world. Yeah, I have difficulties, I have ups and I have downs, I have things happening to me which I don't understand. But Hashem, I know you're there with me. I believe in you. And Midbar is this the peace and serenity. And I'm just in the Midbar, just dwelling with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, I talk about it a lot, the Siyata Dishmaya. I always have credit, write it down every day. And I'll tell you a crazy one that recently happened. A crazy one. It was an Erev Shabbos. Always busy Erev Shabbos. Doesn't matter what's going on. It's always busy. It always comes down to the wire. Hashem should be like, listen, Shabbos starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, so you'll be ready at 10, and then you can have so many hours. Because it doesn't matter when it starts. It's always, always rut. Oh, you know, always rushing. Again, everyone has different personalities. But I always feel there's that last minute crunch that goes on before Shabbos. And it was Erev Shabbos, and my wife was talking to her grandmother, and she looks at her hand, and her diamond ring is there, but there's no diamond. She tells me, and I start freaking out. I'm like, gosh, what's going to be? You know, as people heard some of my shirim, I lost my pants, a whole separate story. I lost a check. But a diamond ring, right? But not even the ring, the diamond itself. And we were in so many places. We went to the Ramot Mall in Yerushalayim, and we went on a bus, and here, and there. A little, maybe it's in the house. Who knows? So we're looking over the house. I never did such good cleaning. Bedikas, tabat, bedikas, right? They say, Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal, he has like this little 4x4. All he did all day was answer people's questions, give people brachas, and learn. All he did was learn. And he spent hours and hours going by his 4x4, making sure there's no... I finally understood him then, because I was on the floor looking for this little diamond. I see all the little things, you know, unbelievable, right? So, bedikas, how I couldn't find it. That shot was beautiful. My parents came. Beautiful. Again, I was a little down. And craziness happened. One of the tea lights went on fire a little. It started like raging and it was nuts and the fire got hot and it was just crazy. And then the shelf cracked. We were afraid. Everyone was screaming. A big boom. And then the shelf cracked. And again, when you're in this situation, you don't know what to do. I don't think it was Sakana Snefesh. I was actually speaking over with my father-in-law, Rabbi Schwartz, or Alan Schwartz. Is it Sakana Snefesh? Is it not? Again, it wasn't, but the fire went out, but the glass cracked, and we were afraid it was going to fall down. I see after the Shemaya that everything worked out there, and I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, a kapara, you know, that my whole house, Chas V'Shalom, could have gone up. You know, me and my family, God willing, we would have got out. Could have grabbed my Siyata Dishmaya. You always have to know, Chas V'Shalom, there's ever. What are you going to grab out, right? Again, it's a big Gemara's and Shabbos talking about you grab your tefillin, you're loud at Shabbos. Definitely, I would say I could grab my wife's diamond ring, but there is no diamond. But I said, Hashem, always the Siyata Dishmaya. Always say, I got my notebooks, they're critical. So, but I said, Hashem, you know, we focus so much on the little things, on the rings, on the diamonds. Hashem, you saved my life. We don't always see it, and you don't know, was it, was not, but Hashem, wow. So, Shabbos is over, beautiful Shabbos, and I'm like, okay, Hashem, you saved my life, but where's that ring, where's that diamond? And basically, after a week, we basically, I don't know, gave up. There's no way.
Everyone's like, you're crazy. I spoke about it with my students. There's no way you're finding that little diamond. And in my eyes, a very big diamond. But and then my daughter goes to an art class every Friday. And she's talking to the teacher, and the teacher, there's some glitter on the floor. And she says to the teacher, it's so funny, you know, my mother lost her diamond. And she said, really? She said, what, you know where it is? She's like, no. But she's like, the funniest thing, the next week another girl came, and there was a project, and it fell on the floor. And then I put it in my closet, and I swept it up because I thought the girl was going to want to do it, and it was Thursday, and I asked her if she wants to do the project, and she said she'd rather do something else. And I took this little paper, and I put it into the garbage, and, you know, I was about to throw it out, it's Erev Shabbos, I'll do it the next day on Friday. And she said, you know, it's so funny because your mother came to pick you up and she was schmoozing with me a little and we were talking and sitting a little. You know, and my daughter's like, could we, like, look for it? Maybe, you never know. And they're looking and they're looking, and my daughter looks into the garbage, looking around, and there's the diamond. Wow. Talking about Siyata Dishmaya, could have been anywhere, could have dropped anywhere. A loose diamond, everyone, any woman here says, check your diamond, you know? You don't know, make sure it's not loose. But Mamish, the brachas, the Rabbona Shalom, but he's giving us diamonds all the time. He's giving us diamonds all the time. Eish, Hashem says, you could do it, you could do it, I believe in you. But at the same time, realize it's coming from me, because so many people in this world, they work hard and they accomplish and they do what they can. But then they think it's them. And we say, no, Eish, work hard, do your shtalas, Anu Amein, like we spoke about last week. Toil! But at the same time, realize it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the idea from this Netziv. This Netziv is telling us this idea, this Yisod, that you're right, there's different things. Hashem gives us gifts all the time. He gives us the Muns, and He gives us all these things. And it might get difficult. Might get difficult, and we all have difficulties. But hold on, because Hashem has our back. He's over us. He's watching us. He cares about us. Just like, you know, your kid's learning how to ride a bike, and the kid's going, and then you let him go, but you're really behind him. It's the same thing with the Rabbona Shalom. Same thing with parents. You know, they're there. They want to guide, and they're in the back. Watching, and it's the same thing with the Rabbona Shalom, that He's guiding us, and we have to believe in, we have to daven for it. We have to realize, wow, look what we have. You know what the Levim were about? Levim had these two jobs. On the one hand, they protected the Torah. They realized Torah is precious. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah. The only reason why we're still around today is because of Hashem wanting us to be around, but the Torah, the importance of the Torah. But there's another reason, is because they sing. Because when you enjoy something, and you enjoy mitzvos, and you don't view mitzvos as a burden, and you enjoy Torah, and you enjoy your relationship with Hashem, that affects everything around you. Think about all your relationships. When you see someone learning Torah, when you walk into a gadol, and his face is beaming. What does it be? He learns Torah all day, and his face is beaming. There's nothing greater than that. His face is beaming. Because he's learning the Torah. And that's what the Levim represented. Levim represented, I'm going to guard the Torah, I'm going to watch the Torah, because Torah is so precious. As the Rambam says, a separate mitzvah of watching the Mishkan. But at the same time, I'm going to sing it. Wow, how beautiful the Torah is. And this is the idea of Sefer Bamidbar. As we're about to go into all the details, all the different stories. Great, I told my students that this is the time to start Shnayim Mikra. Even if you didn't do Bereishis or Shemos Vayikra, started great stories in Bamidbar. We're back to the stories. But these are the ideas, these are the yesods, that if a person wants to bring Hashem into his life, everyone can. Everyone could realize that Hashem, and these are the Levim. So why right before Shavuos? It's glaring, it's obvious. Because Hashem says, if you follow and you do what you're supposed to do, there's going to be greatness happening to you. If you don't, it's not going to be so good. But realize and recognize that it's, if you want to be Makabal HaTorah, Bamidbar,
Eish, fire. Mayim, shiflus. As we know the story of Rabbi Akiva, right? We're still in the Sefiras HaOmer period. We're getting close to the Shavuos. Little by little by little, those drops falling little by little by little by little. Because life is about little by little by little. You get a little bump, it gets big, it gets small, and little by little by little. That's what it is, shiftless, reeling that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge. Bezras Hashem, everyone should start off Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar, recognize and realize, wow, Sefer Pekudim. We're being counted because Hashem says, I love you. You're my chosen nation. You're considered sand, beach, sand, one little particle. That's not a beach. So we're all of Klal Yisrael, but at the same time, we're stars. Sand and stars, this duality. And Hashem says, you are my star. Bez Hashem, we should all have an amazing Shabbos. Start off Sefer Bamidbar. Everyone have a great Shabbos.